Thank you, Chair. Two lovely readings. The first one reminds us about caring for others, supporting others, particularly in need, encouraging others to be the best they can. And that's certainly something we've noticed over the years, and certainly now, with Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. He used the abilities that he had, the gifts he'd been given. And when you hear about his early life, I just wonder how he actually turned out as he did. But a very resourceful person who wanted to make things better for others. Not just then, not just now, but in the future. And we've probably heard a lot about his conservation thinking and the way he pioneered so much for the World Wildlife Fund and the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme, which branched out into the International Award Scheme, because he recognised that not everyone has the opportunities to achieve all that they can by themselves. And that is something he discovered through his faith, that God wants what is best for each of us, to use the gifts and abilities we have to serve others in his name. And the reading from John follows on from last week, where there was reflection on the empty tomb and reactions of Mary Magdalene, Peter and John. And today's reading starts on the same day, but in the evening. And the disciples, apart from Thomas, were huddled together in a room or in a house. The doors were locked because they were frightened, afraid of being arrested. And probably, if you use your imagination, you can probably come up with several reasons for that, why they were afraid. And I guess one of the main ones was they were unsure of what the authorities' reactions would be when it was officially discovered that Jesus' body was no longer in the tomb. Would they be blamed? Would they be accused of having taken the body away? We don't know. But I guess also that they also gathered, partly out of habit, but also to continue to chew up the cud about what happened in the last few days and what Mary Magdalene said about having seen Jesus in that morning and the empty tomb. How did you get your head around it? How did they get their head around it? Because in the Bible, in those stories of resurrection, we're so often just told the bare facts. We don't know how they reacted. And sometimes all we can do is put ourselves in their place and think, what would our reactions have been? How would we have felt? And they had each other to share those hopes, their despair, their wonderment, the uncertainty, and not getting their heads around it. They had each other. Because they'd been through that Holy Week, that Good Friday, and that Easter Sunday together, as well as the past 3 years with Jesus. And I just wonder that as we reflect on our Christian walk, have we learnt to share our doubts, our uncertainties, our hopes with others? Do we have somebody we can do this with? Or do we have a group we can do it with? Well, we can be honest about how we feel about our faith. But we can encourage one another in our journey. And if we don't, and if we haven't, and if we're not used to it, is it something we need to think about in the days ahead? That we become honest, not only with God, ourselves, but honest with others. It's a bit like that, isn't it? You sort of say, so somebody, how are you? And the surgeon replies, I'm fine, thanks. But do we ever actually ask anybody, how are you getting on in your relationship with Jesus? How are you getting on with your Christian faith? It's not something we really ask one another, is it? And we don't always share what's been helpful to us. It might not be helpful to that person that we're talking to, but we can only speak from our own experience. And it's usually an encouragement. And into that huddle, the disciples, the 10 disciples, whoever else was there chatting, Jesus suddenly appeared. As if there was no locks, no doors, no walls. It was as he spoke the words, peace be with you, that the disciples sensed it was really Jesus and not a figment of imagination. And he confirmed it for them, that he was real, that he was alive, because he showed them his hands and his side. It wasn't just words, he was saying, look, you can still see remains of the nails and where the spear had been. Yes, I have conquered death. Yes, I am alive. What an experience it must have been for those folk. What set of emotions must have been buzzing around their minds. Jesus, who died, they'd watched him die, they'd seen him buried, they knew the tomb was empty, and here he was, standing in the same room as them, alive. But that wasn't the end of it, because again Jesus said to them, peace be with you. And he goes on to say, I'm sending you as the Father has sent me. Receive the Holy Spirit. And so much of those words tie up with things that Jesus promised in the early parts of the discourse in John's Gospel from about chapter 14 onwards. And then we see in the book of Acts how changed those disciples were. They were willing and wanted to witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus because they knew it was real. They knew the Son of God who had died had risen again. And they wanted to share that good news. And it certainly made me stop and think when I was looking at that, saying to myself, yes, I know Jesus is real. I know the resurrection happened. But do I really want to share it with other people? Or am I slightly afraid, and I don't want to have aggro? But so many people are willing to listen when you speak from your own experiences. As we know, Thomas wasn't there, and in that afterwards, I just wonder how they described to Thomas what had gone on that evening. Did they just say bare facts? That Jesus suddenly appeared? He said this to them. He did this. He said them to, told them to do this. Or were they able to express to Thomas some of their reactions and feelings? Because like all of us, there are times in our lives and times in our spiritual journey where we just cannot put into words how we feel. We cannot put into words the way God has touched us at a particular time. But Thomas, being Thomas, he said, well, hang on. I'm not sure about all this. Did it really happen? Because they were his friends, he probably didn't go as far as saying, you're telling me a porky, but you can imagine it crossing his mind, saying, Jesus, unlike, impossible. He was sealed in that tomb, dead as a dodo. Thomas couldn't get his head around us. And I guess for some of us, it's taken us time, and will still take us time, to get our heads even partially around that tremendous fact that Jesus is risen, Jesus is alive. And through his resurrection, he's conquered death. Thomas needed that physical proof for himself. And sometimes we hear that we sometimes need proof as well about God. And 7 months readings, a week later, and suddenly Thomas becomes a changed man because Jesus is there again. Without greeting, peace be with you. And he spoke directly to Thomas. And he said, put your fingers in here. Put your hand in here. And Thomas didn't. He just said, my Lord and my God. His doubts had gone. And it's what I love about Thomas, about resurrection stories, not only in John, but in the other Gospels, is that Jesus meets people in a way that is right for them, in a way they can relate to. And as we meet with Jesus, he will be with us alongside us in ways that are right for us, now at this moment, and each day as we go on, through the good times and the not so good times. And I guess that's the truth that both the Duke of Edinburgh and the Queen discovered over the years, because of their faith, because of their role in life, that whatever they go through, whatever is thrown at them, God is there with them alongside, speaking to them in a way that is right for them. And certainly we'll be discovering more about the fact that Prince Philip loved discussing things, loved teasing things out, and had discussions about all sorts of things, including parts of his faith. And that's something we don't always do. All Thomas, and all we're asked to do, whatever our experience is going, or not, is to believe. And out of that belief comes so much. Out of that belief in the death and resurrection comes a hope of life to come. Comes that hope that our lives will be changed. And that through it, others will sense the reality of living Jesus in whatever we do, wherever we are. We have to believe, even when times are tough. The end of John's Gospel says that it was written so that others might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and have life in his name. And a question I want to leave us with at the end, both myself and you, is how do we live out our faith? Where and what we call to be in the times we find ourselves in, so that others will see and believe. So as we've celebrated, we're still celebrating the reality of Good Friday and Easter Day, the death and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus. May each one of us live out that resurrection life day by day, knowing his Spirit and his love are there with us. Alleluia.